This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hi, my name's Ange Barry, and I'm the CEO of Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTIQ community radio station. I'm new to Joy, but Joy's been around for 26 years. We want to be around for another 26 years, and to do that, we need to grow. My vision for the future is for Joy to become Joy Nation, a combination of video, news and editorial, and of course, the great radio station that you love. We are so grateful for the support that our community has provided us over the years, but we are now reaching out to you, our friends in the broader Australian community, to help make this happen. So I'm asking you now to choose Joy by going to joy.org.au and donating to our Chuff campaign, helping us raise $250,000 to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Saturday Magazine starts now.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9, streaming online at joy.org.au and available on podcast, this is Saturday Magazine, Joy's flagship news, current affairs and lifestyle program, an eclectic mix of local and national news, current affairs and lifestyle stories, all framed within a queer perspective. Good morning, this is Tass, and my co-hosts this morning are the lovely Fiona Brooke.
Good morning.
Good morning, Fiona. And of course, Paul. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Tass.
Paul Horwell, I should mention your last name, shouldn't I? Of course, Macca's sick today. Macca is on sick leave, in inverted commas, so he can't join us. I don't know what the hell is going on there. What do you think, Fiona?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's very, very unusual.
It's very unusual, isn't it?
So, I don't know. Do you think there might be something else afoot?
Do you think he might be hungover or something?
Could be.
Who knows? What do you think, Paul?
I don't know. It's not like Macca to miss a Saturday Magazine show, so I think he must genuinely be ill. And I'm sure we'll get to find out, because he's definitely listening and he'll be texting us any minute now.
Of course. Macca, send us a message.
If we say something, we
send us a sign, Macca. Let us know that you're listening.
If he can hear us.
It is miserable outside.
I quite like the rain. I mean, I know humidity is very unpopular and I know I've got curly hair and no one wants to talk about humidity, but I love it.
You've got hair. Just enjoy us.
That's true. For those playing at home, we could not have two more extremes. Fiona, your hair is looking delightful this morning.
Thank you.
And mine?
Tass, yeah, you're looking quite shaven.
Shaven?
Yeah, closely shaven at the back there.
Okay, so today's show.
You're not frizzy, that's for sure.
Today's show. We've got the lovely Toby Halligan coming in. He's going to do a double segment with us. We're going to talk politics and stuff. We're going to really do a bit of a showcase on festivals. So, Paul, you and I were at the MQFF program launch on Thursday night. We're going to do a bit of a wrap-up on Midsummer, and we're going to do a bit of a focus on Chill Out, which is coming up in a few weeks' time.
So many festivals.
It's the party sat mag.
It certainly is,
today.
Isn't it? It certainly
it is.
Hey, we've got the lovely Fiona Newton coming in.
Yes, we do. She's going to talk all about the AFLW season, which kicked off this week.
I want to ask her about AFLM.
Oh, I know. I want to know all about AFLM too.
There's also some interesting stories going around, which we must talk to Fiona about, whether they're considering pooling both the money for male and female players in the AFL this year to try and spread it a bit more equally. So that's certainly one we should pick up with Fiona when she gets
here. I don't even know what that means.
It just means that the women will be paid better.
Well, that's good.
And they'll be able to then be professional sports
people.
And
why is there a distinction between what they get paid anyway?
I think we should hold that question for Fiona. And
done.
I think we'll
good
do
one.
That later on.
Good one, good one. And we've also got a really interesting author coming in, a non-binary author, actually. And their name is...
Alison Evans.
Alison Evans writes children's books.
YA, actually.
YA?
Yes, which is youth.
Ah.
That's books for teens.
Right, I didn't realise that.
Yeah,
there
definitely.
We go. There we go. So, Alison's coming in and we'll have a great chat about their work and really what motivates them to write for the audiences that they write
well,
for.
Well, it's her third book.
Yeah.
Their third book. So, one of the things that we'd love to find out about is this sector of the literature community. And, you know, obviously we know that YA is a broad and a large area of writing. So, we want to find out more about that.
I think that sounds like a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a great show, Fiona.
It is going to be a great show. Pulled that together very well, I think, this week.
Now, Fiona, before you sort of launch into the show, what was your week's highlight?
I think that my week's highlight... Actually, I would have to say I think this week it was a bit of a low light.
Oh, my God, there's my highlight. Look at that.
Ooh.
Toby wearing matching shorts and shirts.
I have to say to our listeners, Toby, when he comes in to join, normally cycles. So he usually comes in a little bit hot.
Hot and sweaty.
Yeah, and this morning, you're right, Taz, he's rocked in.
It looks like
in
he's
a
just
two-piece.
He's just crawled out of bed. It's like a summer pyjama outfit, really, isn't
Maybe
it?
Maybe we'll take a picture and just send it around on our
we'll
socials.
We'll definitely put that on the socials. Yeah, so my this week, one of the things that I thought was a real low light and a very sad situation was the closing of Shark Fin Inn.
No, it was Shark Fin
House.
House, because funnily enough, I happened to be having lunch at Shark Fin Inn the day that that story broke.
Right, okay, yes. So
and I booked it. I'd made a booking in advance, thinking it's always hard to get
it's
in.
It's always hard. You have to book weeks in advance.
Well, I did. I booked it. I booked it about, I don't know, a week beforehand, got a table for two. Turned up, they'd lost my booking. But they said, no problem, there were plenty of tables and the restaurant was virtually empty.
That's extraordinary. And it's happening, of course, more and more. And, I mean, I have other clients that have, other people that I know that have restaurants in Chinatown and they are reporting a reduction of their patronage by up to 80%, not only in Chinatown but also in places like Glen Waverley and other areas. So I would say that was my definite low light of the week is the discovery that people are really clearly... I mean, aside from the fact that we don't have the students here and we don't have the tourists as well, I do think that the way that people are abandoning Chinese restaurants is...
I think it's sad.
Really,
I think it's really,
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 really
sad.
I think Macca did a good job calling that out last week and we made a conscious decision this week actually to go out and get a Chinese meal just to try and put some money back into the tills because it's so unfair and it's undeserved and we need to try and make sure that we support... You know, they're Australians. They're here to actually make a living and we need to make sure they're supported.
Fiona, that was your low light. What was your highlight?
My highlight of the week, I think, was... knowing that Scott Morrison has actually misled Parliament on the sports rorts. I know that's not really a highlight, but I do think that that's a very interesting...
Isn't that a low light?
Well, yes, but the fact that it's actually come to light is what I want to say about that because I think that it's a terrible situation and Bridget McKenzie has got a lot to answer for, but also so does Scott Morrison, and whether or not he will actually answer for it... I mean, I had a really great week, but they were my two things that stuck out to me.
What about you, Paul?
My highlight this week has got to be one that I'm still coming to terms with, which has been quite challenging for me, is I'm delighted that both my parents and my sister are visiting from the UK. They arrived at 5:30 a.m. on Monday morning. I was still asleep in bed when they knocked on the front door, having got a taxi from the airport. And
you couldn't even be there to meet them.
I've only got a small car, as you know, and they wouldn't all squeeze into it. And we've got only two bedrooms in my house, so my parents are sleeping literally 1 meter across the corridor from myself and my partner. And they're here for an extended stay of almost 8 weeks.
Lovely.
And so it's a highlight having them here. We're just trying to work on how we all live together across this this formative time. So well, I'll let you know how that progresses in the course of the next coming months.
You probably haven't lived so close in such close proximity with your parents since you were a teenager.
Since I was, I left home at 18. So you're right, Fiona. I have not spent this much time with my parents.
That was only about 5 years ago, wasn't it?
I wish, Tess. Let's say decades. Let's say decades. You are listening to Saturday Magazine with Tass, Fiona and myself, Paul. And Macca would normally be here and we would usually have Macca's... I was going to say rant, but rant's probably the wrong word. Editorial's probably a more description.
Opinion
a better
takes.
Description.
Well, we call it Macca's opinion, but it's really a Macca rant, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of Macca, he's been very quiet this morning.
Maybe he really is unwell and maybe he's sleeping.
Or maybe he's having a dummy spit.
No.
Really?
Now I've raised something. What do you think's going on?
I don't think he's in that frame of mind to spit his dummy. He has had a fairly hectic couple of weeks, I know, with lots of stuff going on. So perhaps he just needs a break.
That's true.
Perhaps.
That's true. That's plausible.
Perhaps.
So, you two have both went to the opening night of MQFF.
I did.
And I am dying to find out more about the film. That was the opening film because when Spiro was in, he a couple of weeks ago.
He raved about the opening night film.
Spiro, of course, being the artistic director of MQFF. So tell us, the film, the event.
Well, before we go on about that, I thought the event was fantastic, actually. Lovely venue.
I've never experienced that building before.
No, I didn't know that venue existed, to be quite honest. And I thought it was a fantastic space.
So we should just explain to people. So
yeah,
it was down on the South Bank and I didn't know where it was. So I ended up taking an Uber down there and the taxi driver stopped at the stage door of the back of the theatre. Thingy Hall, Hamer Hall. And so I'm thinking, goodness, where do I go? Then followed the signs around. And it was actually in the South Bank overlooking Flinders Street Station, effectively.
Basically, yeah.
Beautiful old building called the Messiah Hall. And, I think it was the Messiah Hall.
Really? I thought it was just Southgate.
I think there was a shopping centre.
Right.
this building was very, very old, had some great views and was just a really good venue. And it was packed. By the time I got there, Tass was already there.
But it was pumping.
Who were the people that were there, Tass, just supporting the MQFF?
I think it was the who's who of the LGBTI community. You had everything from community leaders right through to people like Ro Allen, the commissioner. You had a number of politicians. Fiona Patten was there. David Davis was there.
I saw David Davis at the St Kilda Festival, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah.
At the VIP opening.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Well, it is part of his
electorate.
So he should be there.
Mm.
And, of course, the MQFF event is part of his portfolio work.
Mm.
So, of course, he should be there.
Mm.
I thought it was like anybody that you knew was there, really. It was a large and diverse crowd.
And very friendly. It felt like a family event, almost.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I felt so. I dotted around a few people and said hellos, but I've never been to a film.
I didn't see any children there, though. I think family, I think children.
Okay, I was almost thinking familial.
Different to family.
Maybe a community.
It was definitely a community event, and it was well lubricated with food and beverages. One of my criticisms of MQFF is that sometimes the speeches go on a bit long. You know, there's just a bit too much of that. But I thought dotting the speeches with video clips was actually really nice.
It was a great idea.
Mm. But you're really right, nice.
Too many voices perhaps talking. They probably needed only one or two speakers.
Yeah.
And everyone was there to hear about the movies, which is obviously, you know, the thing that's brought everyone together. And so it was probably a good idea to leave Spiro to the end because he was the one who was actually going to announce the programme and some of his personal key highlights.
Mm.
Now, the film that Fiona probably talked about briefly just at the beginning there is the film that's going to be launching the festival. It's called Gay Chorus Deep South. And it was a film that was made in 2016, San Francisco. And it's talking about a male gay choir that tours sort of from Mississippi to Tennessee and the south of Carolina, really trying to change people's hearts and minds about prejudice and homophobia. And it was a wonderful clip that we saw, a very tiny clip, just trying to discuss what the film is about. But I looked around the room, Tass, I'm not sure about you. People were crying in that very short moment of time. There was a guy in front of me, and I felt a shiver go down my spine. It was quite emotional, just how they had captured in that one clip.
I think there's no doubt there was a wave of emotion in the room. I didn't see any tears, actually, but certainly there was a wave of emotion. There's no doubt about that. It is one of those feel-good stories. You know, it's a story about challenging discrimination. And here there is a little old chorus from the Burbs from somewhere who've got together gone around the countryside really trying to change attitudes and hearts and minds about inclusion.
And we talked off air just a little bit before about how difficult it is to try and get a film that brings people together at a launch event.
It's hard. It's really hard. You know, to try to find a film that's going to be inclusive of all members of our community and all the different acronyms in our community is really challenging.
And do you think Spiro has done it with this one?
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, but it will appear to a gay male audience, but it might also appeal to other people as well. Now, predominantly the audience of MQFF is a gay male audience. Predominantly.
I'm thinking probably will. And I think because it's one of those fuzzy, warm, feel-good movies, it's probably got more broad appeal than something that might be more sort of specific in terms of a topic or a colour. We'll wait and see. 30-year anniversary, do you think that there's any reason to celebrate MQFF this year more than any other?
Look, I think the nature of film has changed. You know, people don't go to the movies like they used to anymore. So there's, I mean, I enjoy a film festival because it does get you out of your home, out into the community, mixing with people that you know. It's great to chill out and have a drink with your friends or, share tales or reflections on your way out or talk about what
Absolutely.
You're going to see.
Well, it engages the opportunity afterwards to dissect a film, to get together and talk about it, and you meet beforehand. And so it's, you know, it's a really
You what's really good. I think what Quit's doing is really good. So they've created a competition of short film entries that tell a story which is really about an anti-smoking story and targeting, you know, members of our community. And the short films that we saw that night were fantastic.
Very, very good. And just so you hadn't seen them, the short films really, they have a sum of money. So it's run as a competition and they really are trying to do two things. One, there's a fantastic, you know, anti-smoking message there. But secondly, they're trying to get young filmmakers into making films. And so the process of actually putting together an entry into the competition and then the chance of winning the prize money to go on and then make something further is a great initiative.
Some of them had a real sort of backyard feel about them. I quite like that. A bit rough and ready.
I did not know anything about this. It's very exciting. I'm actually just going to put some information up on our social media about it
Fantastic.
So that people can get involved and also to obviously encourage people to quit smoking.
Yeah. And I just think, you know, to bring on, the role of film, the film sort of leadership team at MQFF should be to try and nurture new talent and bring people on board to really try and find the next generation of young Australian filmmakers. So great initiative, great launch event, and I think we're up for a ripper season this year.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.